In today's news headlines, the whistleblower complaint made by an intelligence official to their agency's inspector general has triggered a new front in the battle between Congress and the president. The incident revolves around President Donald Trump allegedly making a promise to an unnamed foreign leader during a phone conversation. Now, news reports have emerged that Ukraine was one of the nations involved in the conversation. A few weeks before the date of the complaint, President Trump did have a phone conversation with newly elected Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. In fact, Democrats in the House were already investigating a public claim by Trump's lawyer Rudy Giuliani, saying that he was going to pressure Ukraine's new president to dig up dirt on Trump's rivals in the 2020 election. After this week's whistleblower complaint came to light, Mr. Giuliani gave an interview on CNN, during which he blatantly contradicted himself.
No, actually, I didn't. I asked the Ukraine to investigate the allegations that there was interference in the election of 2016 by the Ukrainians for the benefit of Hillary Clinton, for which there already is a court finding.
You never asked anything about Hunter Biden. You never asked anything about Joe Biden.
The only thing I asked about Joe Biden is to get to the bottom of how it was that Lutsenko, who was appointed, dismissed the case against Antac.
So you did ask Ukraine to look into Joe Biden?
Of course I did.
You just said you didn't.
No, I didn't.
That's Rudy Giuliani on CNN speaking with Chris Cuomo. In a closed-door briefing on Thursday, the Intelligence Inspector General Michael Atkinson refused to reveal details of the whistleblower complaint. This is California Representative Adam Schiff, head of the House Intelligence Committee, speaking to press after the briefing.
We do know that the Department of Justice has been involved in the decision to withhold that information from Congress. We do not know because we cannot get an answer to the question about whether the White House is also involved in preventing this information from coming to Congress.
That's Congressman Adam Schiff speaking with reporters. In other news, Tropical Storm Imelda has dumped record amounts of rain in Texas, specifically over Houston, resulting so far in at least two deaths. Many are comparing the storm to Hurricane Harvey 2 years ago that caused tremendous damage. Associated Press reported that officials in Harris County, which includes Houston, said there had been a combination of at least 1,700 high water rescues and evacuations to get people to shelter, as the longevity and intensity of the rain quickly came to surprise even those who had been bracing for floods. Meanwhile, underscoring the increasing frequency of such deadly storms is a massive global climate strike taking place Friday all over the world. There were marches and rallies led by young people, many of them skipping school, to strike for climate action. The earliest marches of the day began in Australia, where record numbers of people took to the streets of cities in numbers that rivaled the anti-Iraq war protests.
What do we want?
Those are the sounds of a protest march dominated by young people in Brisbane, Australia, where the first actions of the global climate strike kicked off on Friday. We'll be doing special reporting from the Los Angeles climate strike on this show. On the same day as the climate strike, German Chancellor Angela Merkel announced a $60 billion plan to take climate action after an all-night set of negotiations between parties. A new scientific report has found that bird populations in the U.S. and Canada have fallen dramatically. There are now nearly one-third fewer birds in the two nations compared to 1970. That amounts to about 3 billion missing birds. A spokesperson for the National Audubon Society called the study's results, quote, a full-blown crisis. Among the reasons that scientists think are behind the decline in bird populations are modern methods of agriculture, rapid development, and the widespread use of neonicotinoids-based pesticides that have decimated the insects that birds feed on. Climate change is also a factor, one that will only worsen the problem as the planet heats up. In other news, the House passed a short-term spending bill this week that funds the federal government through to the end of November. The bill puts off a larger fight over government funding that is likely to be stymied by President Trump's staunch demand for a border wall. The stopgap measure ensures that some agencies whose funding runs out on September 30th will remain solvent. The Senate will take up that measure next week. Meanwhile, in the Senate, Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has finally relented on an election security bill, which he had stalled on. Democrats, worried about Russian interference in U.S. elections, labeled him Moscow Mitch. McConnell has now decided to back a $250 million bill to bolster election security measures in states around the country. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer expressed relief, saying, quote, "I made umpteen speeches here at this chair, and the Republican leader denied the need, but now, thank God, he has seen the light." California's effort to demand President Trump's tax returns ahead of the 2020 election has hit a wall. A federal judge just ruled in favor of Trump's lawsuit against a law that the state recently passed, requiring all presidential candidates to make their returns public. The judge says he will issue a formal ruling on October 1st. On another front in the battle between the state and the White House, California has joined nearly two dozen other states in suing the Trump administration against its rollback of state authority over vehicle emissions standards. The suit is expected to eventually end up at the Supreme Court. In immigration news, in the same week that migrants' cases were being adjudicated en masse in makeshift tent courts in Texas, there are now reports that Border Patrol agents are conducting credible fear interviews instead of asylum officers. In fact, Border Patrol agents are wearing the same clothes as asylum officers, even though they have far less training to conduct interviews. Meanwhile, after coming under intense criticism for deporting migrants who are in the midst of receiving life-saving medical treatment, the Trump administration has announced it will reverse that policy and grant deportation exemptions to those who qualify. On the electoral politics front, there is to be a forum in the key state of Iowa on Friday, bringing together a number of Democratic presidential candidates to discuss issues of importance to the LGBTQ community. Among the attendees will be Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, who just announced that his campaign has reached 1 million donors, making him the first candidate for 2020 to reach that milestone. Meanwhile, a wealthy Democratic donor named Neil Bloom said at a recent high-dollar fundraiser for former Vice President Joe Biden's presidential campaign that Sanders does not represent the Democratic Party. Sanders shot back saying, "Mr. Bloom is right. The Democratic Party I represent is the party of the working class, not billionaires. That's why we're going to win." On the international front, the war in Afghanistan has continued to escalate sharply. A U.S. drone strike in Jalalabad that authorities say was meant to target the Islamic State instead hit a group of pine nut farmers who were resting. At least 30 civilians were killed. One resident told Reuters, "Such mistakes cannot be justified. American forces must realize they will never win the war by killing innocent civilians." In southern Afghanistan, the Taliban, with whom the U.S. just abandoned peace talks, targeted a hospital and killed 39 people. 95 were injured. There are presidential elections scheduled for Afghanistan on September 28th after two postponements. And that does it for our news headlines today.